Every once in a while, government can surprise you. Last year, for example, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration put in place new rules for so-called personal conveyance, giving truckers more flexibility when it comes to hours of service and finding a safe place to rest. With a number of trucking regulations up in the air at FMCSA, and who knows what Congress may do, such a regulatory or legislative surprise could happen again in 2019. This is Eyes on the Road, presented by PrePass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. PrePass also provides informed visualization software for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge, and welcome into the second part of our two-part series, where we're looking at the trucking regulatory and legislative environment for 2019. In the previous episode with my guest David Heller, Vice President of Government Affairs at the Truckload Carriers Association, we discussed, among several things, how 2019 could be one of the biggest for trucking in terms of changing regulations and new legislation. He's with me again as we continue our talk. David, in the previous episode of Eyes on the Road, we talked about changes to hours of service and how Democrats taking over the U.S. House could affect trucking and related legislation to infrastructure spending, including plans for more highway money. Now that we've talked about those topics, let's look at a new one. Where do you see things heading when it comes to the subject of illegal drug use in trucking, as well as testing for it?
Great question, and I think it's fair to point out and important to say that the trucking industry has a zero tolerance policy for drugs and alcohol on our roadways. That's the beginning and end of that statement. And in saying that, we need to use every tool at our disposal to combat this issue. We have an ongoing opioid epidemic. Marijuana is seemingly being legalized all across the country. However, it is still important to say that when it comes to operating a commercial motor vehicle, our drivers cannot be using marijuana whatsoever. So where does that stand? We've got a drug and alcohol clearinghouse that should be coming out in about a year and a half and put on this industry. The bigger problem is going to be is nobody knows what it looks like and nobody knows how much it's going to cost. But yet here we are a year and a half out, give or take a few months, from what that is going to actually look like. So there is some concerns mounting, and that clearinghouse is one in which we can record drivers' positive results or refusals to test when it comes to random drug screenings, pre-employment, what have you, so that we can better ascertain what kind of drivers we're bringing aboard. The second issue when it comes to this is hair testing or alternative drug testing. Right now, carriers across the country have virtually one test they can use to pacify their DOT drug testing protocols, and that's the urine-based drug test. However, that doesn't show a true history of the driver they're actually inheriting. By using hair, they can go back a certain amount of time, 3 months, 6 months, what have you, and basically realize what the drug history they're getting, which is prime for using for a pre-employment screening process or random drug screenings. In saying that, they can only use it for their own purposes, if you will, which means if a carrier elects to use hair testing, they can't share those results with people because, A, there's no clearinghouse yet, and B, they can't use it for their DOT drug testing protocols. TCA has advocated long for incorporating that into their drug testing protocols using an and or. If a company wishes to do both, they can. If a company wishes to do one or the other, they could. However, that has yet to be issued in terms of guidance, which the FAST Act had required the agency to issue that guidance for. Here's the biggest problem. In a nutshell, there's roughly 7 labs out there right now that test for hair or test for drugs and alcohol in hair samples. The problem is, and I call it grandma's secret recipe or chocolate chip cookie recipe. When it comes to chocolate chip cookies, everybody can agree that chocolate chips, sugar, flour all go into the recipe, but grandma always puts something that extra in it that makes them taste a little bit better. And the same can be said for these laboratories. They have intellectual property that makes each test that they do a little bit different from the other ones, so which is making this guidance a little bit tough to issue. We continue to talk about this. We continue to emphasize there is a need to incorporate hair testing into this trucking world, if you will, because quite frankly, the results are there and they're showing more in terms of revealing more drug use amongst our drivers than just the urine alone. So at that point in time, this is guidance that we desperately need. We talk about sensible rules or an overburdensome rulemaking or regulatory industry, but here's a rule that we want, and one that would desperately go a long way to holding up our end of the bargain on that zero tolerance vaping. There's no place for drugs on our roads. It doesn't need to happen, and we have the power to stop it or decrease it with the incorporation of hair testing, yet we still continue to wait for guidance. And that's what we're looking for. And hopefully, 2019 will move the needle on that issue and get us the ability to incorporate hair testing into our drug and alcohol testing protocols.
Last year, the FMCSA began an ambitious plan to rework its key safety program, Compliance, Safety, and Accountability, or CSA for short. What can we expect from the agency on CSA this year?
Yeah, CSA continues to rear its head, and it's something that we continue to try to perfect, and by we meaning the industry. Industry should not be afraid to having their safety programs or their safety performance judged, without a doubt. The responsible carriers out there are indeed that. They're responsible, they're looking to avoid accidents, and they're looking to improve on their safety measures every day. And CSA rates those carriers in just that way. The problem with it is there wasn't a wholly defensible portion of it, and the algorithms developed for it weren't entirely as accurate as they possibly could be. And in saying that, CSA, or the folks at FMCSA, are looking to roll out are in the process of rolling out a test program for improvements to that safety measurement system. So they're looking at incorporating what is called item response theory, if you will, and it basically ranks the percentiles or the at faults or the inspections on what's most important. For instance, if you equate item response theory to a school test for fourth graders, if you will, and a 10-question test, question one being the easiest, question 10 being hardest, and you take two students and the first student gets questions one and two wrong, but gets the rest of the test right, and question two gets questions 9 and 10 wrong, but gets the previous 8 questions correct. Student one would be deemed more intelligent because he got the harder test questions correct. CSA will go down that road because it'll put more influence on the harder parts of the more sensitive issues in trucking and deem that the best way to score these carriers. There will be also some changes to the peer grouping. There'll be a set bar in which they have to achieve, which means they won't be changing around the peer groupings, which is good for the industry. However, and there's always that big caveat, is then you go back to high school where I remember my high school computing class where they did that garbage in, garbage out. There's going to be a lot that still has to be said about the data that goes into the system. And it can, unfortunately, sometimes be incorrect. Item response theory does not address that. In fact, that's something that the users have to address. I mean, there has to be a standardized way of inputting this data. For instance, if I'm an enforcement officer who I wake up in the morning and my coffee's cold, I trip over the dog and get in an argument with my wife before I leave, I'm going to be inherently in a worse mood than I would be if I woke up and just won the lottery and went to work. So in saying that, there's the necessity or the presence of human error when it comes to data entry or data relations. And this same thing will still exist, which will inherently make it wrong. However, it will be the best that we've ever had. So they're testing it out now. We're looking to get some results at some point, I would say late summer, early fall, to see where it goes from there. But CSA is not going away. It's still removed from the public eye, the scoring system. And those that are looking at CSA have a firm understanding of exactly what it is and will continue to have that understanding. But the biggest question is what does it look like when we finally come out of this change? We're looking at CSA 2.0. That's probably going to be the best way to describe it. It's a new and different measurement or way of scoring it. But the questions still remain on the data.
Now let's talk safety, a major interest for us here at PrePass. In presentations you've been making to various trucking groups, you've given some numbers that show safety in trucking and overall is having some ups and downs in terms of fatalities and crashes. What is the safety picture of trucking, and how might that affect legislation and regulation in the coming year, David?
The true picture is I think we in the industry are trying to do everything to reverse that trend and get those safety numbers trending back in a downward direction. I think that's foremost. We're working on incorporating massive amounts of technology to our trucks, and I think that's going to have a strong effect on reversing that trend. For instance, lane departure warning systems, emergency automatic braking systems, the technology that creeps in, and you're talking about driver assist technology to make them operate in a safe manner definitely will have a tremendous effect without a doubt. We're seeing technology that is starting to come out for these trucks that make them more safer pieces of equipment than they ever have been. And they're incorporating themselves into trucks that may operate in smaller fleets, which is traditionally, obviously, when it comes to technology, it goes from the top down in terms of fleet size. The larger fleets generally try out the pieces of equipment better. And this industry speaks for itself when it comes to truck technology. That being said, we're dealing with other issues. Distracted driving, the prevalence of that has grown exponentially. I think that and speeding are the two top reasons for accidents on our roadways today. And speeding is always going to be there. We can track it better, number one, because we have ELDs on our trucks, and we can track average speeds and what the truck is traveling at. So no carriers are working their hardest to combat that. But distracted driving still maintains its prevalence high on that list and has been probably responsible for those numbers creeping up. I saw a stat just yesterday that a distracted driver or a driver that's texting while driving is about 2,400 times more likely to get into an accident than if they weren't texting or driving, which in that same math, a drunk driver is only 400% more likely to get into an accident. So that tells you the severity of texting while driving and the distractions that incorporate on the roadways. How do we combat that? Well, camera technology, inward-facing cameras, both inward and outward are strongly growing into this industry. That's part of that whole technology story I just referred to, and are getting involved in our industry and showing what the driver's doing on a daily basis. So when it comes to issues like distracted driving, carriers can see that more, and they can retrain their drivers or figure out what's going on to make them perform safer. So it's an opportunity there that is in the trucking industry to help reverse those trends. We need to get those numbers rolling backwards or going back down, because I know carriers are putting safety at the forefront of their industry, which is evidenced by all the things we're talking about on this podcast today. And it continues to be that base. So as we make more strides in technology, use more things to combat distracted driving, and start talking about things like sleeper berth flexibility in an effort to reduce detention time, because that has its negative effects as well. Because what happens when a driver is detained? They're probably going to drive a little faster to get to their next destination. So there's that speed argument again. So inevitably, we're doing a lot of different things to get those numbers back down, and hopefully the proof will be in the pudding as they start looking at the next generation of numbers when they come out.
Do you think with all this technology we're seeing and that trucking companies are looking at that you described, that 2019 might be the year the FMCSA starts considering some regulations that would mandate some of this technology? Or do you believe it's farther down the road, if at all?
that's a good question. And that is actually a question that seems to come with this issue. Is this a mandate or wait philosophy? Because generally speaking, this technology shakes itself out on its own. Emergency automatic braking, it was a wait and see approach on whether or not this technology truly does work. And it does work. And it is being adopted by carriers of all sizes right now. And that continues to be the case. So that's the quandary that is going down that road. I don't know if that decision has been made yet, because there's obviously a homeopathic nature in which some of this technology truly is adopted. The trucking industry speaks for itself. If the technology works, if it creates a safer driver, then guess what? The trucking industry adopts it without a doubt. That's just the nature of the beast, and that's how the evolution of safety technology has always worked. If it does work, everybody's racing to the store to buy it, for lack of a better term. If it doesn't work, then nobody will take it. So the proof is in the pudding, and everybody will literally take every step possible to adopt necessary technology that will reduce accidents and make their drivers safer. That is what the agency considers when they're looking at some of these rules. So yes, they do encourage motor carriers out there to adopt this technology, especially the stuff that works. I think there will be a continued emphasis on not necessarily mandating the technology, but a continued emphasis on putting it in place at the voluntary use of the carrier, because it does work. And this industry has shown time and time again that they will adopt technology that does indeed work.
David, anything else in the regulatory or legislative horizon for trucking that we may see pop up in 2019?
That's a loaded question. I think we're going to start looking at some differently and new things. Obviously, autonomous vehicles will continue to be the rage. I don't think you can throw a rock in D.C. lately without hitting one of those conversations. And I think the agency has just come out with their new policy that once and all finally noted that drivers of the future may not be human. So when you look at something like that, that's definitely conversations that will continue to happen when it comes down to putting them forth in this world or this year, if you will. I think technology will still be on the front of everybody's lip, just like we talked about. But again, I think hours of service is going to be the biggest game changer out there, focused on the ELD that will finally come into play. The grandfather clause will be over in December. Without a doubt, ELDs and that full-on adoption phase, gone will be the AOBRD technology, and now we will be fully operational with ELDs. But flexibility and hours of service will be issue number one, and inevitably getting into these infrastructure talks and seeing how that plays out. Those are going to be the main storylines of 2019, without a doubt. So I think that's where we're headed, and I think that's what the year is going to shape up to be.
Any surprises? There's got to be some surprises, but then again, I guess if you're predicting a surprise, it really wouldn't be a surprise. So let me ask it this way. Anything in the way of trucking legislation or regulations that would surprise the trucking industry as a whole?
I wish I had my crystal ball. But one thing I can say about this industry, some of the issues we talked about 5 years ago, we're still talking about today. And that generally seems to be the par for the course, because you can even say that about 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we were talking about hours of service. Guess what we're still talking about? Hours of service. So I think, in terms of surprises, there's nothing I would expect. The crystal ball highlights everything that we've talked about on this podcast. But again, I've been wrong before, and I will be wrong again. So there is always that element of surprise of what could possibly come out, whether it be a legal challenge or some rule that the agency wants to put forward. But again, nothing in this industry ever happens quickly when it comes to government regulation, whether that's the legislative process or the regulatory process. So generally speaking, we know a heck of a lot more about it by the time it ever hits the airwaves or the final rule process than we ever knew before. So with the advent of social media and technology today, in terms of reporting issues or getting background on information needed for some of these rules and regs, we're so familiar with this issue by the time. So I can't envision any surprises at this point in time. I think it's going to be talking about a lot of things that we've talked about in the past. My hope is that we just make more headway on it. Things like detention time that certainly plague our driving population. We have the ability now to make some strong headway in addressing some of these things. With the use of ELDs, for example, we can actually move the needle on some of these discussions and start making forward to improving upon detention time, working on congestion with an infrastructure bill and possibly getting flexibility into the sleeper berth that helps on all of those fronts. I think that's what we're looking at. And I don't foresee any surprises, but I've been wrong before.
Well, David, we promise we won't hold your feet to the fire too harshly. That's David Heller, Vice President of Government Affairs with the Truckload Carriers Association. David, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Evan. I appreciate it. It's been great.
And this last little bit of business, you can now reach us by email. If you have any comments, questions, compliments, criticisms, or suggestions for future topics for Eyes on the Road, just write us at podcast@prepass.com. That is podcast@prepass.com. In the meantime, there is more information available for you about changes in truck regulations as well as other issues. Log on to the Prepass website and check out our blog for the latest articles, as well as the resource library. That's at prepass.com. Don't forget you can keep up with Prepass online by logging on to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Plus, you can hear previous editions of this podcast or subscribe to it, either through the Prepass website or through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Android, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and more. You've been listening to Eyes on the Road, presented by Prepass, the provider of waystation bypass and toll payment services. Prepass also provides informed visualization software for improving safety scores and lowering toll-related costs. I'm Evan Lockridge, and don't forget to keep your eyes on the road.